Welcome to BT Meet Me. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound sign.
After the tone, please state your name.
Oliver.
Don?
Yes.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Tom is just finishing up another call, and I'm rounding up the rest of the guys. So if you have just a little bit of patience, we'll be right with you.
Terrific.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Hi, it's Bastian and Steve from Octopus. We just dialed in.
Hi, Bastian. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John.
Is Linda still there? She just left.
Yeah, it sounds... She. Did you hear that tail end of what she was saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope you two have been able to get out of the office today.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. I went out to get lunch for a couple minutes about an hour ago, and it's so nice outside after the weather we've had. It is really terrific.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
So you're alone from Florida stands? You're the only one?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, it's Tom LaSala and Nancy Manette.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Nancy.
John?
This is John Ruark.
Okay, I've got now with me also Michael Hilbrenner and Wing Cheng. They were both on Friday's call.
Okay.
Hi, Tom. It's Bastian from Optiver and Steven from Optiver.
Hi, Bastian. You know, Bastian, what's Steve's last name? Steve, what's your last name? I'm sorry.
It's Schwab. Just like Charles Schwab.
Got it.
But just a quick question. Was that call on Friday?
Thursday.
Was it on Friday?
Thursday.
Was it Thursday?
Yeah.
I just wondering.
Thursday. Okay. Tony Denseski also joined us. Tony, I know, Tony, we were on the last call, I don't think. Were you? Okay.
Thursday
it was.
That's it. Uh-huh.
And a couple of letters after that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Tom, this is Sebastian from Alpha. Just since our call last Thursday, we pretty much advised into severely toning down the activity in the task contract and the subsequent hedging in it, to actually having fairly limited liquidity in the task contract and subsequent less hedging during the 2-minute VWAP period. I was just first would like to know how that was perceived on your end.
It's Mike. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, all TAS trades altogether, what I saw on Friday was, in all markets, was 643 buys, 675 sales, crude, heat, gasoline, basically, I don't think there was anything of too much significance, okay? I mean, gasoline was the most significant market that he traded.
What was the gasoline TAS, Mike?
Basically, they traded... Oh, I can give you a breakdown.
What's the
gasoline, basically, they sold net about 175 short TAS in the gasoline.
What's the gross? Do you have the gross?
You mean what they made?
No. It was... Was it buy, sell? Is that a net number you're giving me?
That was a net number. They had, in both the April and the May contract, they had 215 buys versus 390 sales. The May was, I believe, 205 by 210, so that was like a negative 5. April was plus 10 by negative 180, so that was in negative 170. So
okay.
That's how I got the negative 175.
And what about the trading and the corresponding closes?
It was they covered the gasoline in the close. That's why I said the green money. They bought 175, let's see if it was all Aprils. Yeah, they bought 175 Aprils in the closing period, thereabouts.
How were those orders laid in?
Fairly orderly. I can let you see it. I mean,
it's all right.
They start here at, you know, there's one trade at 27 times versus that's in the closing range. 14 all ones and twos, a couple tens, 12s, 13s. And that's it. Basically, they had good TAS trade prices.
The price moved quite a bit, though. How much? What percentage of the closing range volume were they?
I don't know. I'd have to go and get the gasoline.
Yeah, I guess my comment is it's obviously significantly tuned down in terms of the volumes,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously, you know, appreciated and responsive to what we were looking to see. I don't know if I'm in a position to just simply say, that's the way to go, and that's an acceptable outcome. I'm not ready to say that.
I mean, yeah, if I look specifically at the RBOB, I believe that we were probably less than like 5% of the closing volume in there. But we did see a significant price jump ourselves out there, and we were very conservative in the way we hedged it during this period, based on our conversation. But we did see that pump out there as well. We thought it was something we had to deal with. Pretty much what I would like to know is, like, I believe we're adding value to the end user of the TAS contract by providing tight liquidity out there. One of the specifications of the TAS contract is pretty much that we have to hedge it out in a period right around the VWAP, most pronounced during hedging it during VWAP, and whether we do that hedging activity because we have a larger part of the open interest in the TAS contract or someone else. I believe either way, the exposure to the market will be similar. So what I would like is to get like some clear idea of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable on your end.
What is the edge?
Tony, there's no hedge. I mean, it's just you're covering the TAS.
Well, April had a total closing range volume of 1229. Okay, and they had 175 purchases.
1229 times 2. All right, so buys, that's the buying effort for every seller. So if it says 175 over 1229, you can look at it single-sidedly.
Right.
So it's a
15%.
15%. That, Bastion, you know, that 175, we're seeing the closing range. That's the cumulative across both venues, Mike? Or is that just Globex?
No, this is both venues.
So we're seeing the 175 not being 5%. It's, I don't know, 14.
We probably added as both the volume in April and May, and we probably added as both buys and sells.
Okay.
So it's probably right here come to the 5%.
Okay, yeah, because I'm looking totally, you know, solely at April, it's about, you know, 14%. So, I mean, I certainly see the change in the profile, so to speak. I don't know. I'm really uncomfortable in giving finite guidance at this point with regards to giving, you know, percentages and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, you want to add to that?
No, I agree with Tom.
I understand why you're asking, but I you know, right now, what the regulator knows on our part is we've put out, you know, guidance, and I think we appropriately addressed our observations with you last week in terms of simply, you know, laying up a, you know, firmer guidance. I don't think we're ready to absolutely give that yet.
It's not just the number, it's just the way the numbers are used too. So it's...
Sorry, Nancy, I didn't get it.
It's not just the raw number, how many contracts you're acquiring, what percentage, but it's how that number is used in the closing range. And I think that... the notice to members that Tom pointed you to from October speaks to that the compliance department's going to take a hard look on what type of use what type of trading is done and how the trading is done in evaluating whether the TAS position is being accumulated in order to push that closing number.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to do is just make markets in the TAS contract and hedge ourselves as well as possible during that closing period, and it might be slightly before, but you got to do it before 1:30 because afterwards liquidity dries up completely.
Well, you know, guys, making markets in TAS might not be a regulatory safe
haven. Matter of fact, this is Tony Danseski. One of the things you got to consider is congestion in the market and what your need to be in the market at a certain period of time is. And like all things, that needs to be discussed, looked at, reviewed. But they always come back to say, what is the commercial need for you to be in the market at a certain period of time? And did you trade the market commercially in a reasonable manner?
I just am not of the mind, just speaking broadly, that... it's necessarily a prudent path to go down to, say, you know, providing liquidity in TAS. I think that based upon our observation, our concerns, our notice, I think that there should be bright lights all over doing exactly that.
So you would suggest that not making markets in TAS at all? I mean, that doesn't seem like the best thing for the end user of the TAS contract, though.
I think that I'll be honest with you, I'm not so convinced of that. I think there are users, commercial users of TAS. I think there are natural buyers and sellers. You know, insofar as, you know, market making, I know, I'm not convinced that we need someone to make a market in these things. What I am convinced of is that, you know, what we saw, you know, that the in the firm's trading, I admit you made a change. I, you know, it would be just as concerned tomorrow if I saw someone else do it. I think that, you know, that making that market in TAS and then how, you know, your systems or your persons, you know, put the liquidating orders in, I think, you know, create, you know, pressure, and it sure as heck looks like it's to achieve an outcome, and I think it's, you know, I'm concerned with it. So, I mean, if at the end of this conversation, you know, you conclude that making markets in TAS is not something you want to do, that's your business decision. If you conclude that, you know, you feel you want to make them and you can deal with, and I can't give you guidance as we sit here today in absolute terms as to what's the you know, what's the secret sauce as to a safe haven insofar as what kind of volume can you do without getting the eye of the regulator. I'm not ready to do that. If you know, but again, in a business matrix, if you guys, you know, feel you can operate and, you know, in light of that market advisory we put out, and, you know, tread water in there and not affect your settlement valuation, that's your call. If for whatever reason we feel otherwise, we're certainly going to reach back.
Mm-hmm. Would it make sense to have a continuous dialogue with you regarding the activity that we see and that we have in that contract? I mean, is that something that you're open to?
Sure. Be willing to talk about it, again. And, if it makes sense to talk, later in the week or early next week, if we see, your participation, increase and replicate to what we saw last week, I can assure you we're going to be reaching out.
Okay. Right.
Assuming that doesn't occur, be more than willing to take a weaker review and talk about it again. But I will tell you I don't have any kind of regulatory hangover insofar as expressing to you the concerns I had last week and the reasoning why we reached out to you.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that, and we also take this very seriously on Ireland. We want to comply with whatever rules or guidelines you set and whatever information you give us. We just want to make sure that we can still perform our business within the guidelines that you set. And at the same time, we just want to make sure also that we... that whatever we do is in comparison equal to what other market participants are doing, so that we don't affect the market in a severe way or in any substantial way, just like you expect that from other market makers, other liquidity providers. You don't have any specific market makers in the task contract.
And just as a note, it may be that we and we're talking about it internally, which is why maybe a call in a week. Is prudent. Maybe we need to put out even more specific guidance.
Or if we see something, we might reach out to him earlier.
Right, but maybe we need to put out more specific guidance insofar as notice to the market. Almost warning around the notion of, providing liquidity in TAS, just to the very nature of the product. But I'm not there yet, but maybe that's something we are going to be talking about internally.
Yeah.
And providing a liquidity provider, a two-way market. Hey, broadly speaking, on the electronic trading system, on standard markets is a great thing. This is a unique instrument, and the genesis of it came from commercial users, and I just from a regulatory perspective. Saw concerns with TAS, issues around TAS. As I said to you last week, there's history of issues, in London, FSA has taken issues with I think it was when IPE was operating, the markets there regarding similar activity. So it's not new stuff. What's new here, obviously, is the advent of electronic trading. So it's obviously something that we're going to look at. And if it's prudent, if you guys would like to talk about a day next week to have a follow-up call, I'm more than welcome. And I'll leave you with the point I mentioned earlier that we're going to just keep on looking at these closes, at the activity of yourself and others. And if we feel, if we're concerned about something, believe me, you'll hear from us first.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to be proactive on that part. If there's something that we can improve or we can change, that we'll do that in a communication with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I like the specs of this task contract, pretty much, to my understanding, will result in that somebody will have to buy or sell these contracts in the underlying during that time period. So my feeling is that if we don't make the market and provide the liquidity, probably somebody else will. and which will have a similar effect on the underlying market, though. Do you agree with that?
No, not really. Some of the people that may transact business are refiners that are producing gasoline and sell it on an average price. Small consumers that are buying it on these prices. In other words, there's a cash offset, a commercial need for why they're doing it.
They're not squaring. A lot of the people, guys, are not squaring up, meaning that they are completely fine. It's a commercial tool. Now, I was long, given 500 contracts in crude oil. Let's make it simpler. 200 contracts is 20 business days. I am going to liquidate, and that is the convention in crude oil. They average the month. They do 10 a day for 20 business days. And the ideal result for them is to lift that hedge at settlement, meaning they buy or sell TAS, they are done.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, trading around it. That is the trade for them. All it is a liquidating transaction. That was the genesis of the trading instrument. It was requested by and fostered by institutional, energy participants who are looking to square their book up with the TAS. It wasn't constructed around someone making a market in the TAS, which then requires them to square the book.
I understand the commercial end user part of it, but if we net all the commercial end users, you're going to have still probably some kind of result, whether it's long test or short test, or probably if there's no market makers, there's not enough liquidity, so somebody who would have liked to have bought test would actually have to execute it in the underlying market themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that still result in the same net effect on the underlying market?
I don't know. Or but if someone couldn't get the TAS, maybe they had to pay more ticks for the TAS.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe instead of paying a tick over or two ticks over, they got to buy 10 ticks over. Or they wind up going, as you said, to the close, but, I'm much more comfortable with someone placing their order into the close than, to effectively liquidate their hedge. Then, a market making scenario that
concentrates
the activity. I mean, I think that there's concern around a market making strategy as you had in place. I don't know how else to put it.
That's purely because of the concentration of the activity having a large part of the open interest.
Yeah. A large part of the open interest, large part of the closing range volume, mm-hmm. How the orders get placed in. As I said to you, we went through looking at least one of those days, gentlemen. I mean, you start towing in at 205 with 10s and 20s, and then come 28th time, the big blocks and 300s are coming off. It looks like there's a kicker being applied. That's how it looks.
The reason that before the 28th, before the VWAP starts, we have a larger market risk in, say, the market is moving up and we're selling prior to, then the chances that we get close to a settlement price become much smaller. So that's why we can spread a little bit of the risk over a wider area, but most of the exposure is during that two-minute period.
That's the reason for why they do this trade. What's the commercial reason? Ask them that. I'm not going to ask questions. One thing, most customers, I'll ask them and they'll tell me what they're hedging, what they're buying against, what they use as tool. It's a hedging tool. What is your reason for doing this trade?
Providing liquidity. That's our goal as a business model. Anywhere where we trade, we make a bid and an ask spread, and we believe we get paid on buying on the bid and selling on the offer.
Okay. Is there a profit motive?
Yes.
What is your profit motive?
The spread. Capturing the spread.
Okay.
I mean, we do that in lots of option transactions worldwide. And in most option series, there's a multitude of series or a multitude of products which we can lay our heads off. And that's why there's, over time, you can spread it better, so there's a less of a direct market effect comparatively to what you see right now in the TAS contract. Because the only way to really substantially, really actually hedge this contract is to trade it during those during that time period.
I understand the point, but when you talk about trading it, the observations on how you're trading it seem to, you know, market seems to move in reaction to, your orders, and I don't think that a market making strategy.
No, Tom, I hear concerns, and like what I was trying to say before, if you're like providing liquidity, you're pretty much taking the opposite side of the commercial end users,
mm-hmm.
both ways. Indirectly, there's going to be an imbalance that the commercial end users have on the market. The fact that they don't hedge themselves off directly, doing it themselves in the settlement period, but by trading this past contract, doesn't change the fact that directly they are a natural buyer or they are a natural seller.
No, I understand the point you're raising.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to talk about, because we're going to obviously talk further internally here. I think you know what our, I think we've articulated what our concerns are and how we're going to be looking. Would it be prudent to look towards setting something for early next week sometime?
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer that. I mean, this is something that we believe in our expanding the global product range that we do, that that contract could be one of the contracts we would provide liquidity in. We just want to do this according to exchange standards, and would love to have this conversation with you going forward.
Let me ask a question. Do you provide liquidity in a similar fashion in a product like this on other markets?
We have a similar kind of activity that we do on the ICE. We trade one TAS contract also versus the other. So we provide liquidity in both markets.
Right, but is a no? You're talking about intercontinental exchange or intercontinental futures? Are you talking about the natural gas one? Or are we talking the previous IPE?
We're talking about the previous IPE. We don't trade anything over the counter, so we only trade listed products.
So you'd be talking like the Brent contract?
For example, yes.
So you do similar market making in Brent?
Yes.
And then let me ask you, I mean, have Intercontinental Futures or FSA ever raised an issue with it?
No, they have not. But based upon your concerns, I am going to address it with them, see if they see any issues.
If you do so, I would certainly, I'd like to follow up on what their thoughts are. If you would pass those along, Bastian, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
I can tell you that when we opened up, as silly as that exercise was, the NYMEX Europe Limited, the gentleman that we put on as our chief, our regulatory officer, previously worked for the IPE in a regulatory capacity, and he was quite articulate in talking about how that activity was one that, while he was there, was hawked closely. But, times change.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's on my list to talk to them about. I mean, we've done in a similar fashion what we've done on the NYMEX, is reduced our activity, toned down our activity in order just to prepare to talk to the ICE as well. Because we think it's more of a global marketplace discussion that will happen at some point in time, And maybe it's related to transitioning from a floor-based model to an electronic-based model, where there might be some temporary or some more long-term differences in the contract and where they are hedged. But I think whatever the IC and the NYMEX set as a guideline, we believe probably global, both exchanges would want to have a similar kind of guideline. One doesn't want to seem more or less competitive than the other.
I broadly have to agree with that, except for the caveat that it seems that the regulatory schemes, although similar, are not quite in complete lockstep.
Yeah, that
position limits.
Meaning,
totally sure about that.
Meaning, I think that the U.S. regulator seems to have a firmer grip on a lot of things and requirements, position limits, and the sort. But that's my observation. Anyway, we're in a conference room. I don't have access to calendars at the moment. Would it be all right if what's that?
End of the month is this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, would it be all right if we circle back through possibly John in coordinating a call for next week?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Sure, I'm happy to be the contact point on it if that's useful. Although, you know, I'm judging from the conversation today, I'm not necessarily sure that the conversation at this point wouldn't be purely an exchange, an Optiver conversation.
I understand, John, because you're acting as Fortis counsel, correct?
Correct.
That's right. That's a fair point.
I mean, I'm happy to pass on the information. And if you think there's anything, Bastian or Tom, if you think there's anything that we can add, I'm happy to participate. But you know, at the same time, if it does seem like it's you know, you two exchanging thoughts and ideas.
You know what? That's a very fair point. Bastian, what if I reach out to you directly to coordinate a time? If for some reason it seems in our assessment we need to involve, you know, the FCM Fortis, we'll reach out to John.
That makes sense. John,
okay.
What's your direct contact, Bastian?
I was just going to ask John, could you provide us with an email for Tom's contact info and provide Tom with our contact info?
I'd be happy to do it. Tom, I think I've emailed you stuff in the past, but I'll have to dig through my emails.
I'm TLASALA at NYMEX, NYMEX.com.
I will pass everything on.
That's great.
Okay.
And I'll, you know, if I get that, I'll, you know, coordinate directly with Bastian.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.